In the enchanting realm of the Everseas, magic flows through bloodlines and ancient feuds divide kingdoms. 20 years ago, Valen Ferris, the Nightfolk King, killed Thorvald, the Everking, setting in motion a conflict that would shape generations. When Eric, son of the slain king, kidnaps Livia Ferris for leverage against her father, neither expected their lives would intertwine through a magical heart bond. Despite being enemies by birth, they fell deeply in love. Eric named Livia the first ever queen, a revolutionary act in a kingdom that had never known a queen's touch. Their plans to unite the realms were progressing until betrayal struck from within. Larson, Eric's half-brother, captured Livia, and in a desperate attempt to save her, Eric returned to enemy territory, only to be captured and brought before Valen Ferris, the man who killed his father. What happens when love blooms between sworn enemies? Can two souls from opposing worlds build a bridge strong enough to unite kingdoms divided by generations of hatred? For Livia, her name rushed through my head with every kick and strike from the Earthfey warriors. I needed to live for her. Eric Bloodsinger endures brutal beatings from Valen Ferris's warriors until Valen's wife intervenes. We do not find her if he is dead. Meanwhile, Livia wakes in luxurious chambers on Nethaven Isle. Her captor, Princess Skadi of the Dokofar Shadow Elves, reveals she too is a prisoner. I was not necessarily given much choice but to align myself with those who've risen against you. Larson's betrayal cuts deeper than expected. He is Eric's half-brother, Thorvald's firstborn with a Ljóslifar noble. His power lies in stealing abilities through blood, each bone in his necklace a trophy from someone whose power he's claimed. In a cruel ritual, Larson and his conspirators, Prince Arion and Sea Witch Fion, force Skadi to extract the heart bond from Livia's chest. Miles away, Eric feels this severance as physical agony, watching the last golden sparks of their magical bond dissolve into crimson. "Be the warriors I admire, and use your damn heads," Alexei tells his people. "He is not here for blood and does not deserve to have his spilled." The search for Livia forges improbable partnerships. Eric works with former enemy Alexei, while Valen Ferris offers a temporary truce. "I call a truce, Bloodsinger, for now. Our ambitions align. I only wish to find my daughter." Jonas and Sander Eriksson, Alver clan princes, and Princess Mira join them, Earth royals risking treason. Meanwhile, Livia allies with Gavin Seeker, who appears offering help. "Trust the King's Seeker, Livia. I'm well versed in assassination." Power extracts terrible costs. Larson murders his own mother to break barriers between Elven and Ever, transforming from Eric's friend into a monster. Prince Arion keeps Skadi enslaved, threatening to keep her numb unless she complies. Even our protagonists embrace darkness. Eric orders Sewell to torture Lord Hesh, later telling Livia, "For every moment he had you, I'd plan to make him suffer. His screams will become myths." "Bond or not, you are mine, and gods, I'm yours, love." When Larson severs Eric and Livia's heart bond, he unwittingly reveals their connection's true depth. Without magical compulsion, their love endures, perhaps stronger for being freely chosen. Their reunion on Nothaven's shore overflows with emotion. "Gods," Eric gasps, pressing his forehead to hers. "Hello, love. I promised I'd come for you." Later, Eric affirms, "Whatever that bastard thinks he took from us, he failed. I belong to you, every wretched piece of me. I've no need for spells to prove it. I choose you, Livia Ferris." This theme culminates in a new heartbond ceremony presided over by Narza. Unlike their accidental first bond, this conscious choice made before both families creates a new bind rune, House Ferris's seal surrounded by ivy vines. Isn't this the truest love? Not imposed by fate, but chosen daily, with full knowledge of both light and shadow within our beloved? You are a beautiful monster, Livia tells Eric, accepting both his tenderness and capacity for violence. Similarly, Eric embraces Livia's transformation from gentle princess to queen willing to fight for her kingdom. This mutual acceptance creates space for authentic love, inclusive of their darkness. Serpent, I would follow your darkness, every ugly truth, across the skies and seas, Livia vows. Eric responds in kind, loving both her light and shadows. Livia discovers her own capacity for violence after killing Fione. This thirst for vengeance was unfamiliar, robbing me of my former gentleness. Yet counterexamples exist. Narza sacrifices herself by binding to the Earth Fae through a protective spell. When Livia finds a lord allowing his people to eat blighted crops, she uses fury magic to heal rather than seek revenge. The novel challenges the notion that people are either good or evil, presenting a nuanced view where everyone contains multitudes, capacity for both cruelty and kindness, violence and tenderness. The removal of the chasm, the violent magical current separating sea and earth fae realms for generations, stands as the novel's most powerful symbol of unity. Scotty's affinity for darkness and Tavish's ability to unthread ancient spells allow them to dismantle this barrier while preserving the natural boundary between realms. This physical transformation mirrors personal journeys. Eric evolves from hating Earth Fae to accepting House Ferris as family. Valen confronts his past and acknowledges Eric as family through his daughter. The novel portrays unity realistically, not instantaneously. Cultural differences persist in diplomatic protocols and marriage customs. Suspicions linger, especially among older generations who remember the bloodshed. Yet genuine connection becomes possible when shared humanity is recognized. As Livia observes, strange, isn't it? Not so long ago, we'd wanted the lot of these sods dead and gone. Now, it's like they were always here. This offers hope that our own divisions aren't permanent, but can be dismantled through courage, compassion, and seeing our enemies as human. Crisis reshapes long-standing enmities, making old hatred secondary to survival. Eric and Valen's evolution from hatred to respect demonstrates this transformation. When Valen admits, "Strange, but the Sea King almost grows on you," it signals potential reconciliation between kingdoms. The heart bond's violation isn't merely physical harm, it's the theft of something sacred that sustained them through darkness. Yet this raises a profound question. If their love persists without magical bonds, is it stronger? Can what magic broke be rebuilt by choice alone? What price are we willing to pay for power, and what determines whether that power heals or destroys? The answer lies in the wielder's heart, not the power itself. How many yearn to be seen fully and loved with our darkness, not despite it? The story suggests our choices define us more than circumstances or magic. When Eric and Livia choose each other despite every reason to remain enemies, they prove love can transcend boundaries between kingdoms, cultures, and the light and dark within ourselves.